our awesome podcast with Holly and Adam and maybe a guest. We talk about things, we talk about stuff. We talk until we've had enough. Listen to our awesome podcast. All you have to do is not turn it off. The Adam and Holly are awesome podcast.
It's awesome.
The Adam and Holly are awesome podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Adam and Holly are awesome podcast. I'm Adam. And we are awesome. You probably noticed that Holly isn't here right now. I'm recording this at about 3 p.m. Because I have to go to work at 7 before, and Holly usually gets home around 6:30 to 7, so we're not going to have time to record a podcast together. So my idea was that each of us records a shorter version of our own podcast and kind of, just go... do it separately and see what happens. So what I'm going to do is when I talk about something, I'm going to kind of write it down just to kind of make a note of it. So Holly can, give her angle on that specific topic as well without listening to what I've done. So it's just kind of an experiment, and I think it'll be something fun. So generally what we do is we talk about our week. So let's do that first. Let's see. What happened since last Monday? There was a new episode of Mr. Robot, which was good. I like Craig Robinson in that. If you don't know Craig Robinson, or if you don't know the name Craig Robinson, you can look him up. But he's, if you see him, you know who he is. He's in a few things. He's in The Office and The Hot Tub Time Machine, notably. Also in the end. This is the End, that movie with like Seth Rogen as Seth Rogen and Craig Robinson as Craig Robinson, and James, all the people as themselves, which was actually a really good movie. So Mr. Robot happened. He's a complex character in that, but I like the way that the show is going in the second season. So I recommend that. Also, what else have I done? I discovered a Pokemon game called Pokemon Revolution Online, which eventually it's supposed to be you play through each of the Pokemon games and just kind of go through those, all those parts of the world and collect the Pokemon there. I'm only in the first one. I'm in Kanto right now, which is the Pokemon Red and Blue. I just beat Lieutenant Surge. They add some new things in there. There's certain Pokemon that you can... that are rare, like in spots that they weren't ever before. Like you can catch a Ponyta really early on, so that's kind of cool. And you can catch I caught a Snubbull pretty early as well. So they have all the Pokemon in there, but it's mostly the ones in that region that are going to be there. But you can kind of in certain ways get other Pokemon. So that's pretty cool. So you can kind of try ones that you haven't been able to use before in those regions. And they also add a little bit more story to the original Red and Blue games. Like when you go to Vermilion City, it turns out that like Lieutenant Surge is like a secret Team Rocket member. It's the same game, but they just add a little bit more story into it to make it more complex. And it's totally fan made, and it's online, so there's a bunch of people running around doing the same thing, but you're just playing Pokemon and it's online. And it's a lot of fun. It's free as well, because it's a fan-made game. But I highly recommend that. It's called Pokemon Revolution Online. And you can Google that if you're interested. another thing I've been doing, Holly and I went and caught some Pokemon. We walked around downtown yesterday. Did some cool stuff. We actually went to the library, which was cool. Holly hadn't been to the library before. I'd been there twice before, So we just kind of walked up. It's 11 floors, the Seattle Public Library. Each floor has all kinds of crazy stuff on it. The first floor is the main entrance. You know, they have the front desk there. They have like a room where like if there's like a special speaker, he or she can come in and, you know, talk and do all that stuff. There's also foreign language books are on the first floor. So like if you need books in Japanese or Korean or Spanish or Italian or any other language that you can think of, they would be there. Let's see. The second floor is like an administrative level, so you can't go there. You have to, you know, it's just the offices or whatever. So the escalator goes up to the third floor, which is, the third floor is the secondary entrance on the back of it, because the way that Seattle is shaped, everything is on a hill. So the third floor is actually another entrance from Fifth Avenue instead of Fourth Avenue. And there's a coffee shop there, and there's just a bunch of like places to sit down and read. It's called the Living Room. So they also have all the fiction books are on the third floor. All the like graphic novels and stuff are there. So you kind of only really need to go there if you're just looking for something fiction and light. The fourth floor is very interesting. It's the red floor. Everything on that floor is red. So it's kind of creepy, and it looks like an evil TARDIS inside of an evil TARDIS. Just everything is just dark red, like blood red. The floor, ceiling, walls, and everything's curvy and weird. But that's where they have like meeting rooms in there. So if you have like public meetings or whatever, or they're like seminars, stuff like that, they do them in those little rooms, little meeting rooms, on the creepy fourth floor of the Seattle Public Library. The fifth floor is the computer lab, I guess it is. So you can, like, public computers, if you have a library card, you can go in there and you get, like, an hour on a computer. And that's the whole fifth floor. There's also, like, customer service, so if you have any questions about stuff, you can ask them. The sixth through ninth floors are called the Spiral. And the Spiral is just, like, it's like the stacks, except the floor goes slightly uphill. Starting there, so you just have to walk around, and it's like all the Dewey decimals are up in there, and that's four floors of that, and it's a lot of fun just walking through and seeing stuff. They have like all old phone books and all kinds of. There's so much stuff in there. And the 10th floor is called the Seattle Room, and it's like a special collection, and it's in its own special room, and you have to like check into it, and it's like expensive books and rare volumes and stuff like that, which is pretty cool, and that's on the 10th floor. And also they have like a crazy overlook that's there as well. We went to the library after we walked all up all the floors, and then we decided that we wanted to get some books, so Holly got a library card finally, and we went back down to the third floor, picked out some graphic novels to read, and just kind of sat down there for a few hours and just read some books. Holly read a graphic novel. It was Neil Gaiman, Books of Magic, which she, I think she finished that up yesterday. She actually got it out. She checked it out and finished it up. I read, it was like Dungeon Quest, I think it's called. They had three volumes of that, so I read the first three of those. It was kind of fun. It's like it's really dark and weird. It's like these two guys. Well, I guess it ends up being four people, like a party. But there's just like some guy who's like, I need to go on an adventure. So he recruits his friend and they go. And then like the first thing that happens to them is like they get like mugged almost. And then they like kill the people that are mugging them and take their equipment. And then every time they get equipment, like it shows their new stats with their new equipment. And it's kind of fun. And they go on quests and they're just, you know, they're just going on a quest, but it's just like guys in the regular world, kind of, with some weird shit thrown in. But it was fun. I read three of those, and I probably don't need to read any more, but I got the point of it, but it was fun. And then I read, what else was it? Oh, I found some R. Crumb books as well. But those were up in the stacks, actually, like under art and not in the graphic novel section. Like in the actual art section. So I got those, read those. I remembered at some point that there was a book I was looking for called House of Leaves. I didn't know much about this book except that I heard that it's an interesting way that a novel is set up. The way it's set up is it kind of starts out linearly, and then it's two different stories happening at the same time. It's a guy talking about how in the footnotes there's one story of one guy making footnotes on another person's work. And he's talking about the first guy is talking is he's writing a story, not writing a story, but he's retelling events that happened that were real to someone else. So it's kind of convoluted the way it's set up, but it's interesting and it's cool and it's kind of creepy and it's basically about a house that gets bigger and there's like a labyrinth that shows up, like a hallway that shows up in this guy's house. And him and some other people go and explore it. And then there might be a minotaur. I don't know. Or just something bad that lives in there. But there's a lot of like weird cultural references from, you know, millennia. Like there's stuff from the Bible and like the minotaur and the labyrinth and Crete and all that stuff. But and then the other story is a guy who's maybe like in his 20s who found this guy's work because he lived in the same building as him, and like he had a trunk that had just like all these papers that were all mixed up, and he's trying to put them together and slowly going crazy while doing that. And then the secondary footnotes are him talking about this guy's book that he's writing about this guy who had a house that got bigger. And I'm about halfway through it, and I just got it yesterday. It's called House of Leaves, and it's really cool. The other book I got was one that I'd heard of, the one that actually, thinking about House of Leaves, I was like, oh, I heard there's another book that's similar to House of Leaves that I want to read as well, which is the one that got me interested in House of Leaves in the first place, and it's just called S. It's by J.J. Abrams and someone else, but it was a J.J. Abrams book. And the way this one's set up, I haven't read it yet, but I looked at it, and it's just a novel, but there's conversations in, like people scribbled notes in the margins, and there's conversations going through the margins while the novel is happening. So it kind of jumps around in that same sort of form, and I just looked at the first couple pages, and it looks really cool. Like, each person has their own style of writing. So there's, like, one is, like, blue ink and kind of, like, cursive, and the other one is, like, block letters and black ink. And they're having a different conversation. I think I saw some red ink in there as well, so there might be a third party as well that's writing in the margins. But that one's called S by J.J. Abrams. And let me go grab it. I'll get you the full name. Douglas Dorst is the other person that wrote that. If it was tough to find in the library because it looks like an old book called The Ship of Theseus by V.M. Straka. And it's, there's green writing, orange writing, red writing, purple writing, blue writing. There's a lot of different people that wrote in the margins of this book. And it looks like there's actually stuff like stuffed in the pages too. There's like a receipt for something that was stuck in there as well. I hope these weren't all taken out. If there was other things in here, but I saw that there was like a receipt in there that I think is supposed to be along with it. And on the back page, it looks like an old book called The Ship of Theseus. I actually posted it on my Facebook page too, but the actual title of the book is just it's the letter S. And it's by Douglas Dorst and J.J. Abrams. And I'm going to read that next. I'm pretty excited about it. I'm having a literary adventure this week just from all these books. Okay, so I'm going to read you guys a question, and you can answer it. If you know the answer, let me know. That one's dumb. Okay. Shadow opened the door to Dr. Adam Apple's office and surveyed the scene. Dr. Apple's head lay on his desk, surrounded by a pool of blood. On the floor to his right lay a small handgun. There were powder burns on his right temple, indicating he was shot at close range. On his desk was a suicide note, and his right hand held the pen that had written it. Shadow recorded the time as 3:30 p.m. and ascertained that death had occurred within the past hour. As Shadow was gathering clues, Dr. Apple's wife burst into the office and screamed, "Good Lord, my husband's been shot." She ran toward him, saw the note, and cried, "Why would he want to kill himself?" "This was no suicide," said Shadow. "This was clearly a case of murder." How does he know? Okay, so this one, I can see the answer to this. So I think it'll be fun if you guys can see if, you know, figure it out and send me a tweet at Aha Podcast if you know the answer. If you need to re-listen to it, just, you know, skip back a little bit. It starts a little bit before 15 minutes into the podcast. And if you don't want to guess or don't know the answer, I'll tell Holly to reveal the answer at the end of her part of this podcast. So, yeah. I guess that's it for mine. So be a cucumber and all that. We'll see you next week. Later, taters. Oh, one more thing before I go. I just come back. I forgot to do a snack. I'm going to do... We actually have two different snacks here. The first one's called Meiji Choco Baby. And they're like little chocolate pellets. And they're kind of like in a little dispenser. We'll open that up and have one of those first. They're little cylinders of chocolate. Okay. Yeah, they're fine. It tastes like chocolate. I'm into that. Alright. The ingredients on that is sugar, cacao mass, whole milk powder, cocoa butter, vegetable oil, soy lecithin, shellac, artificial flavor, and tocopherols. And they're okay. The next one we have is called Furuta Creamy and Crispy Pie Puff Pastry Cookies. Let's open this thing up. It's in a yellow package. Let's see what these cookies look like. Ooh, they're individually wrapped even. And they're little tiny cookies. They look like little hearts. Oh, a serving size is the whole thing, so 8 of these is a serving. I'm just going to have one. 1/8 of a serving. And they're like little, they kind of look like a little tiny elephant ear. Let's see. Okay, it's got that texture. They're flaky cookies, shaped like a heart. No, it's pretty good. I'm for it. All right. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you all next week.
Hello, and welcome to the Holly is Awesome podcast, your companion cast to the Adam is Awesome podcast, which I'm assuming you've just listened to. I haven't listened to it, so I'm sure Adam explained all of this to you, but I will be explaining it once again because I have no idea what he said. He left me notes here. He left me 5 lines of notes. It is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9 words. 9 words worth of notes. Apologies in advance if the sound is off or the balance is off or if I've suddenly become way louder than he was or if I'm quieter than he was. I don't really have any control over this unless I listen to his part, which I'm not going to do. So Adam is just ending his job at Taco Bell. He's in his last couple of days, and he works until 2 a.m. tonight. So I just got home at a 7 p.m. on the dot Pacific time, Seattle, Washington, United States. And he has already gone to work. He just started working at 7. So we missed each other today. Because he stayed up super late last night. I had to get up for work. I had a meeting at 9. I was 2 minutes late because of the bus. So public transportation is a blessing and a curse. It's really great because I don't have to pay for gas. I don't have to pay for an Uber or a Lyft, which I accidentally paid $30 for one last week. Note, when they tell you it's surge pricing, pay attention to the exact percentage they're adding. I thought it was 20. It was 200. So my what should have been about $10 Uber ride ended up being $30, which is a ridiculous amount of money to pay for to drive like 5 miles. So not okay. Just be very careful. One moment. I am going to take a drink of water. Anyway, public transportation is great because it affords me all these luxuries. My company gives me a free public transportation card, so I don't have to, like, I really don't have to pay for any of it. The trouble is that it's not always reliable. Now, the major sort of fast lane buses are usually pretty reliable. They tend to have sort of boards up telling you when the next bus is coming, and that's usually pretty accurate. But today, I got there and it said 9 minutes, and 20 minutes later it said 2 minutes. So I'd gotten to the bus in plenty of time, and then by the time the bus did get there, actually two buses arrived at the same time, and they were both packed full. I didn't even think I was going to be able to get on the bus, so I was really lucky that I could. I had a bag of rice with me. We had a potluck at work today. Adam and I have been counting calories. I'm sure we mentioned this last week. Potlucks, it turns out, are the bane of calorie counting, especially when you only get 1,200 calories a day. And it's a Mexican food potluck, which is known for, well, the American version is very cheese and tortillas, lots of fat. I mean, don't get me wrong, someone brought carnitas from Whole Foods and it was delicious, but at the cost of, I only have like 160 calories left for the day or something, so I either have to starve myself tonight or hope I don't get hungry, or I'm probably going to go over on the snacks. But oh well. I brought rice. I volunteered to bring rice, but I didn't really specify what kind of rice, and so I made like a Mexican rice, which you probably know is Spanish rice. It turns out in Spanish, in Mexico, they call it sopa de arroz, with that R rolling thing that, despite speaking Spanish for like, let's see, I'm 27 now, and I started when I was like 14, so, you know, that long, half my life, I still can't roll my R's. Wow, half my life, that's disgusting. I don't know enough Spanish. I've been speaking it half my life, I don't even know it. That's really a pity, you guys. Anyway, so it's called sopa de arroz, and I looked up a bunch of recipes. I was trying to find good ones, and none of them were, they were, like, very Americanized. So I was like, oh, I guess I could just search, like, google.mx. And then I got a bunch of Spanish language versions, because, spoiler, I speak Spanish. And I was able to follow them. The problem was it came out really bland and weird tasting and not at all like I was expecting it to, and very raw tomato flavor. So I cooked it. So the way you make sopa de arroz is you actually toast the rice first. You like fry it in oil to brown it. And the pan that I did that in, the rice kept sticking really, really hard. So by the time I was done doing the frying, which took twice as long as it was supposed to, because I don't know what I'm doing as a person, the rice was really broken up into like little grains. It's supposed to be long grain rice. Like I bought long grain rice just for this, but I'd stirred it so much and it stuck so much that it became short grain rice or smaller. I don't know if there's something smaller, tiny grain rice, but so it didn't quite have like the texture it was supposed to. It kind of gummed up the way it wasn't supposed to. So by the time I was done cooking it, it was weird and gummy and raw tomato flavored. So I had to cook it some more. I basically like fried it like fried rice, which made it taste a lot better. But the texture, the like grains of rice were still all wrong, and nearly no one ate it today. which I wasn't surprised about. I also realized after the fact that maybe some people wouldn't like that kind of rice, so I just made some white rice with cilantro in it. You couldn't even taste the cilantro. People ate that, kind of? Put it in some tacos? I don't know. It was a disappointment. Next time I'll bring refried beans or something easy. That way I don't have to worry about it. Or like black beans. Something you can't really mess up. Or maybe I should just stop, like, I do this all the time with baked goods too. I don't practice recipes before I bring them out to the public, which you should really do. Your first attempt at something shouldn't be a public attempt at it. But it usually is for me, because I don't know what I'm doing. And because I don't like to make the same recipe twice, because that's, I don't know, that's just kind of the person I am. Anyway, so Adam has these notes for me. The first notes are, the week. I don't really remember much of what's happened in the last week. I have a bad memory. I tend to block a lot of it out, because it's like work stuff that I don't want to think about at home. I'm sure that I did something on Saturday. I don't really remember what it was, but I know I, like, was alive on Saturday. I watched Twilight Zone some of the day on Saturday. That was Saturday, right? Maybe that was Friday. You guys, I think I lost a whole day. How did I lose a day? This is concerning. Maybe, okay, hold on. I'm gonna do what you should always do, and I'm gonna check my texts from Saturday and see what I did. See, I think that we, as a generation, will have an advantage come Alzheimer's era, because we can just check the physical digital record of what we did. Even if we don't remember it, we can fake it, right? All right, well, so the only person I really text, my sister and Dan. So let's scroll back to somewhere. Dear God. Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it was totally Saturday that I watched. Yeah, it was Saturday that I watched Twilight Zone. But what did I do during the day? That was like at night. Oh, I also watched Night Gallery with Dan. It's really good. It's by Rod Serling, who's the same guy who did Twilight Zone. It's kind of like Twilight Zone, only longer form. Well, some of them are shorter. It's like short story movies, but not the sci-fi as Twilight Zone. A little bit more, I guess, horror-oriented. They're not even really that scary. They're just like interesting, twisty short stories. I really like it. I'll watch more of it for sure. Come on, texts. Did I read a book? No, I don't read a book. I don't read books. Apparently, I forgot to eat. That's important. I had a nap. I feel like Adam and I went somewhere to the store, maybe? We drove. I remember driving. Ooh, boy. If you have any tips for how I can improve my memory, that would be really appreciated. Because I have virtually... We did go to the store. I remember now. We went jeans shopping. Whew. Okay. I feel better. We went jeans shopping for Adam's new job because he had to have dark jeans and doesn't have any. And his jeans that he has right now are kind of tore up and stuff. So he needs some new jeans, went jeans shopping. Okay. That's much better. Yesterday, we went to Pike Place Market. And we had hanbao, hanbao, I don't really know how it's supposed to be pronounced, I don't know if it's even really a thing, bao or buns, supposed to be really good. I've had it twice. I had a beef curry version the first time, and I had a barbecue pork version the second time. I thought the beef curry was better. Adam had a very slimy, gooey chicken something. It was like what a person would make if they had seen pot pie but never had pot pie, and maybe they had too much flour and cornstarch around and also had a cold. He couldn't even finish it because it was pretty gnarly. We went to the library yesterday. I think that is Yes, that is another one of Adam's notes here, is just library. This is the first time I'd been to the Seattle Public Library. There's apparently a separate Seattle Library and King County Library, and I think they're actually not that far away from each other. I'm not sure. King County is the county that Seattle is in, if that wasn't self-evident. And so I might check out the King County Library too, but the Seattle Public Library is really cool. I think we've talked about it briefly on the podcast before. I'm sure Adam went in at length about it. It's got like the spiral sort of situation going up through the stacks of nonfiction. It does seem to be more nonfiction oriented than other libraries maybe that I've been to. Their like graphic novel section was really limited. Their kind of teen section was more limited than I was expecting. They had a ton of nonfiction. And I got a library card. I put Babylon 5 season 1 on hold to be delivered to my local branch. The local branch of the library has almost no books in it. It's a tiny little branch, but you can put stuff on hold and have it sent there, so you don't have to go, like, I don't have to go downtown to the big library and pick it up. Not that it's that taxing of a trip, but it's an extra trip. I can just walk to this library instead. It's more convenient. Super nice. So, yeah, we did that. We decided to read at the library for some time. So I started to read. What was I reading? I gotta go find it. It's over here somewhere. Something Neil Gaiman. One second. All right. It's Neil Gaiman, The Books of Magic. So it's like a graphic novel split up into four books. I think it was first released in like the 90s, maybe? Let's see. Background. Yeah, publication date. Volume 1, 1990 to 91. Volume 2, 94 to 2000. So maybe it took a while to get going. And I guess I don't know if I read it all. I know I read the first four books, which were in that book. So I don't know. I don't know if that's all of it. Because it looks like there was an ongoing series that was not in there. So, but I don't think Neil Gaiman wrote that. It looks like other people wrote that. So yeah, I read the original one. It was fine. I don't know. The thing about Neil Gaiman is that he writes two kinds of stories. He writes stories about gods, and he writes stories about people who go to other dimensions. And sometimes he writes stories about people interacting with gods in other dimensions. And this was that one. I like Neil Gaiman. I like him a lot. I think he's got a really great writing style. I think he's got cool ideas, but I do kind of wish he would deviate from those two sort of tropes that he is comfortable with. I know he does some, like, kind of short story-ish stuff, which I've read some of, and it mostly falls into that same format. Some of it does deviate from that, but the longer books and stories of his that I've read, definitely, and even, like, his Doctor Who episode, they all kind of fall into that same trope, which gets a little exhausting, I gotta be honest. But yeah, it wasn't bad. I wouldn't read it again. If you like Neil Gaiman, I'd recommend it. If you like graphic novels that are a little bit more, it's like, it's pretty. I think I read comic books and graphic novels wrong. Here's why I think that. I will go 5 pages and not realize that art happened. Like, I'll just be reading the words. I don't know if it's because I didn't read them as a child. I never had access to comic books. I didn't even really, for real, know what a comic book was and how it was formatted or anything like that until college. I'd never seen one. I literally thought it was a book of, like, the Sunday comics from the newspaper, and it was just strips over and over again, which I'm sure there are some that are like that, but of course the majority are not. I never really knew that, so I don't know, I thought bad kids or losers read comic books or something. I was totally wrong. But I think the way that I learned to read as a person, it's a very different method to read a novel than it is to read a graphic novel, because, you know, on account of the pictures. I forget the pictures are there to tell a story and to help tell a story, because usually the graphic novel is written in a way where you don't really need to see the pictures. They're cool to be there, and, like, if you're reading, like, a Superman comic, like, of course you want to see Superman, but you don't actually usually need to, except for a reference of who's talking. Right? Like, the dialogue box comes out of some dude's face, and you say, oh, I guess that's the guy, right? So you could do that in another format, which is why, you know, there's graphic novelizations of novels. Like, I think there's a Stardust one, there's a Neverwhere one, just for Neil Gaiman off the top of my head, and it translates super easily. I'm sure not all books do, but again, it means I'm bad at reading graphic novels. I don't know where my eyes are supposed to be at any time. I don't know how long I'm supposed to spend on a page. Like, am I supposed to be staring at the art a lot? Someone put a lot of work into it. Like, I feel bad not looking at it, but at the same time, it doesn't feel like it's that much added value to me. I'd maybe rather just read the story. I don't know. Maybe I'll get used to it. I haven't been reading them that long. I have some comic books around. I have some graphic novels around that I have wanted to read, but I guess I always deprioritize them. I don't even read that much as it is, so trying to force myself to read something that I inherently don't understand that well is difficult for me. Adam had Pokemon Online as one of his bullet points that he talked about. The thing is, that's really his thing. I haven't done it. I know he's been streaming it this week. It's like an MMO thing. I'm not all that interested in it. I don't really like MMOs, and I know you don't really even interact with the other people yet on this one all that much. But it's not something I'm probably ever going to play. I mean, it's cool enough, but I expect it'll get shut down at some point, right? Because it's completely unlicensed. It's Pokemon, but the Pokemon company didn't make it. So there has to be some sort of copyright issue. There's no way it's just fair use, and they have a donate button, so they are making money off of it, even if it's just to offset their server costs or whatever. House of Leaves is another point that he has. That's a book that he's reading. Looks very complicated to read. All the text goes, like, sideways and upside down, and some pages only have three words on them. I don't think I'm interested in reading a complicated book. I don't like reading for stress. I did enough of that in college. I don't have to read and be like, oh, this is so hard, because it's uncomfortable, and why would I want to do that? I think I've already been talking longer than Adam was. I didn't really pay attention to where this started. So I better move on to snacks. Assuming, of course, that I can find them. Aha! They're behind me. It looks like we have two snacks this week. I don't know which one Adam did first. So I'm just assuming. I'm going to assume it was the one that we got at Daiso. The puff pastry cookies. Which I thought looked good. But now that they're open, they smell super sweet. They give calorie counts for the entire box at once, which is really not that helpful. Who's eating all eight or whatever cookies at once? But okay. So it said puff pastry cookies. I don't think it could possibly be puff pastry. Like, how do you bake puff pastry like this? That's not really how it works. Puff pastry is, like, light and fluffy, not weird and hard and dense. They smell very like something I've had before that I didn't really like one of these snacks or something. I can't pinpoint what it is. I get coconut. Yeah, they have coconut oil in them. They honestly don't have that much flavor. I guess the texture is puff pastry. It's like if you eat puff pastry, like a tart that didn't bake up correctly, so it's not actually puffy, it's just kind of dense. Yeah, I wouldn't recommend these. They're boring, and also not very good. But they're only 36 calories, so I guess that's something. Yeah, I wouldn't eat those again. All right, I'm gonna move on. Actually, no, I'm gonna take a drink of water because those actually really dry my mouth out. Disappointing. Good thing they were only $1.50. Thank you, Daiso. Okay. Next one is Choco Baby. these look like... Boy, I can't even tell you what they look like. I guess they kind of look like mini Tootsie Rolls, maybe? Yeah, okay. Or like if you took... What are they? The Good and Plenty or something? No, are those are the filled ones, right? Yeah. If you took like the middle of that. Open it up. I hope Adam ate half of these because I'm totally going to eat the other half. There will not be needles left when he comes home. All right, Choco Babies. They're little. They're very small. Maybe a half a centimeter. No, more than that. By a little bit. They're little round things. Choking hazard. Don't actually give these to your baby because they will die. Hmm. Interesting. I'm going to have to eat more than one of these at a time. I tried just one. It's too small to get a good grasp on what it actually tastes like. It's just kind of generically chocolate. I don't hate it. It's actually pretty decent. Yeah, that's fine. I probably prefer if they were a little bigger. There's some weird aftertaste to them, though. It almost tastes minty. I don't know what that's all about. I don't hate it. I guess I'll probably eat the rest of these off the podcast. Because I got a riddle to get to. Adam told me. Now, he already read you this riddle. So I really hope that's the truth. I read the riddle prior to turning on the podcast. I have not yet looked at the back to see what the answer is. But, like, it's pretty obvious, right? If you haven't figured it out by now, it's pretty obvious, right? Like, there's a pen in his right hand. He shot himself in the right temple. You can't do both of those things. So if there's a pen in his right hand, then he didn't shoot himself. Because he would have had to hold the gun. Then he would be dead, so he wouldn't have time to pick up a pen. Let's see what it says. Dr. Apple held a pen in his right hand. If it was suicide, the last thing his right hand could have held was the gun. Bam. Riddled. Oh no. I just realized this is the end of the podcast, and I have to figure out how to sign out the podcast, which means I get to say whatever cool pun that I want to say that Adam always tells me are bad about a vegetable. I always have these cool puns, and he's all like, no, you can't. That's not even a good pun. And I'm all like, yeah, it is. It's a great pun. But now I don't have anything. How am I supposed to do this alone? I can only do this when Adam's making fun of me and telling me it's bad. He's like, we didn't even have any vegetables for me to make fun of. Can I branch out to, like, meat? Is that allowed, or is this a vegetable and fruit-specific trope? Okay, here, I got it, ready? Take carrot of yourself. Yeah, that's good. I'll keep that.
It's the end of the podcast. We ran out of stuff to talk about. It's the end of the podcast.